Well, if that doesn't get you in the mood to buy presents, I don't know what will. That's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, conducted by the great Robert Shaw. No one was better in this kind of repertory than the late Robert Shaw. Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. Arrangement by Alice Parker. I love her use of bells and the antiphonal layering of the men's and women's voices. We're going to hear some more Robert Shaw after this poem by John Donne. Most of you have heard of John Donne. He was one of the greatest of the so-called metaphysical poets of the late 16th and early 17th century. He was an Anglican clergyman. And before his Anglican clergyman, he was kind of a naughty boy, but he got his act together. And he wrote this marvelous Christmas poem entitled Nativity. Let me read it to you. Immensity cloistered in thy dear womb now leaves his well-beloved imprisonment. There he hath made himself to his intent weak enough, now into the world to come. But oh, for thee, for him, hath the inn no room? Yet lay him in this stall, and from the Orient stars and wise men will travel to prevent the effect of Herod's jealous general doom. Seest thou, my soul, with thy faith's eyes, how he which fills all space, yet none holds him, doth lie? Was not his pity towards thee wondrous high, that would have need to be pitied by thee? Kiss him, and with him into Egypt go, with his kind mother, who partakes thy woe. And on that note, and the greatest Advent poetry, I believe, as you'll hear as we go along, always mixes the joy of the upcoming birth with what lies ahead for he who is born, the suffering, the pain, the crucifixion. And in this vein, let's listen to another recording conducted again by Robert Shaw, this time with his chamber chorus, an American folk hymn first published by the Methodists. Congratulations to the Methodists in 1811. What wondrous love is this?
Oh,
I've got chill bumps. Robert Shaw and his Atlanta Chamber Choir singing another Alice Parker arrangement, a familiar hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This? And I particularly like that moment when they sing, And While From Death I'm Free, I'll Sing On, I'll Sing On. That just stirs me. So we're going to go to another Anglican cleric for a poem now, this time, though, a Welshman, a poet named Ronald Stuart Thomas. He went by R.S. Thomas as a poet, and he lived until the latter part of the 1970s. He published a lot of good poems. Not many people know him. He wrote a poem entitled The Coming. This is The Coming by Anglican priest R.S. Thomas from Wales. And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. Far off, as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Clustered buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent. A river uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. As the Son said to the Father, as Christ said to his Father, let me go there, he said. A beautiful poem, R.S. Thomas, from Wales. And that puts me in the mood to share with you, I guess this is my favorite Christmas carol. Maybe it's just the favorite Christmas carol in my 60s. But I listened to it over and over. The English translation of it is, Whence is this goodly fragrance flowing? It's a 17th century French carol that wasn't put into English until Frank Hofton did it in the early 20th century. The first stanza in English is, Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sakes, became as poor, thrones for a major dissurrender, sapphire-paved courts for stable floor. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sakes, becomes poor. And this recording is marvelous. It's on the BIS label, and it's which is a Swedish label, and the name of the CD is Christmas Music for Sweden, from Sweden, one of my top five Christmas CDs. The soprano is Christina Hogman, and the singers are the Orpheus Singers, directed by Robert Sund. So let's listen to Whence Is This Goodly Fragrance Flowing. If you don't know it from the title, you'll know it right away from the tune.
Thank you.
That was the Swedish soprano Christina Hogman and the Orpheus Singers, conducted by Robert Soon on BIS. The CD is entitled Christmas Music for Sweden, and I'd get it if I were you. I listen to it over and over again as years go by, and I love when they go into that pianissimo at the last stanza. That's when you figure out how good a singer is. Not when they sing loudly, but when they sing softly. And this was neither in English or French, but you really didn't need to know Swedish to appreciate how beautiful it was. Well, I'm not going to read you a Swedish poem to follow that up. I will stick with English. It's the only language I know, very well anyway. And this is by a poet you know, another priest, this time a Jesuit priest, Father Gerard Manley Hopkins, very well known. And rightly so, one of our greatest poets in the English language, died young, but that's another story. He wasn't treated well by his order. That's another story, too. He's a convert to Catholicism and became one of the leading poets of the Victorian age, dying in 1889. I'm going to read you a short poem entitled Moonless Darkness Stands Between. Moonless darkness stands between, the past no more be seen. But the Bethlehem star may lead me to the sight of him who freed me from the self that I have been. Make me pure, Lord. Thou art holy. Make me meek, Lord. Thou wert lowly. Now beginning and alway, now begin on Christmas Day. Gerard Manley Hopkins. He knew how to say a lot with a few words, and he knew how to compress those words into an amazing emotionality and meaning. But we're going to change moods now because a lot of you listeners don't know my pop side. I do have a pop side, and you call it kitsch side too. I like to cry at movies as much as anybody else, and I love to be moved by great pop music. Now, this piece was written for a 60s singer named Vic Dana. It was his greatest hit. It's entitled Little Altar Boy. And it was written by a man named Howlett P. Smith, who is still alive. The most famous version after Vic Dana was by Karen Carpenter, the Carpenters. But I'm going to play you one I like, at least at this moment in time, a little better than Karen Carpenter's, and that's the one by Glen Campbell, Little Altar Boy.
Little altar boy, I wonder, could you pray for me? Little altar boy, for I have gone astray. What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, oh, let me hear you pray. Little altar boy, I wonder, could you ask our Lord? Ask him, altar boy, to take my sins away. Joy. voice and help a sinner be strong. Little altar boy, I wonder, could you pray for me? Could you tell our Lord I'm gonna change my way today? What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, oh, let me hear you pray.
That was the late, great Glenn Campbell, who sung Little Altar Boy, written in 1961 by Howlett P. Smith. And the lyrics, and I don't mean to push this comparison, are very analogous to what Gerard Manley Hopkins had to say in a poem I read previously, Moonless Darkness Stands Between. Now, in the second half, I'm going to play one more pop song. I'll let you guess at what that's going to be. And I'm going to play a little more, lighthearted, classical selections. And I'm going to read one poem that you would have never thought would ever pass my lips on Church and Culture. We're going to take a short break and be back right after this message.
When putting on the mind of Christ this week, Sister Ann Shields helps to prepare us for a fruitful Advent season.
John the Baptist told us very clearly, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah, the one who went ahead of him to prepare the way. In a season of Advent, each of us needs to take the posture of how can I in my life prepare the way of the Lord?
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Sister Ann Shields helps us prepare the way for the Lord as we continue to prepare ourselves for His Nativity during the remainder of this Advent season. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
We all know that consistency is important for our children's well-being, but a recent study in the Journal of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry shows just how true that is. Researchers found that young children who experienced multiple moves and school changes had up to a 60% greater risk for exhibiting serious mental health problems in adolescence, including psychosis. Consistency in a child's life isn't just key, it's critical. Our church teaches us that human beings need ritual to be healthy and happy. Rather than being boring, repetitious actions, rituals bring order, meaning, and peace to our daily lives. Multiple moves and school changes disrupt the rituals that allow children to develop the ability to regulate their emotional, psychological, and relational lives. To give your kids an advantage, work hard to keep up rituals like family meals, game nights, family prayer, family days, and of course, Sunday Mass as a family. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to our Advent show on Church and Culture. And if you listen to the first part, I'm sharing with you some of my most favorite recordings of the very best Advent music and some of the very best Christmas poetry. Now, this particular poem is by a man who's been on this show a number of times, Dana Gioia, who is a mere 66 years old and lives in California, former chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities, but one of our country's best poets. And I wrote to him this morning. I said, send me a poem, one of your best poems on Advent. And he did. He sent me this poem entitled For the Birth of Christ, which I'm going to read to you. Now, Dana reads his poetry like, or any poetry like no one else. So, but I'll do my best. It's Dana Gioia, For the Birth of Christ. Now is the season of our long regret, when all the borrowed levities conspire to hide the hopeless balance of our debt. The winter air grows sharp with our desire, and all the ancient hungers reappear. We come to watch for you, a child of fire. Again the shining city seems so near. Send down the flaming stairs into the night before our dreams had vanished with the year. If lesser visions charmed a summer night, we knew they lacked the necessary pain. You bring no season of rehearsed delight, and requiems combine with our refrain, for with your birth a part of us will die. Alone we cry the coming of your reign. Will you, O fiery child, make no reply? Dana Gioia, For the Birth of Christ. And once again, the poet brings to this season of waiting, of coming, of the first of three comings of our Lord, according to St. Bernard of Clairvaux, the birth, the daily presence in our hearts, and his second coming. But this is the first of his comings, and he mixes in the slight fear that his coming brings, knowing that this is a once-in-a-cosmic-lifetime opportunity for our redemption. But I don't mean to be too heavy with you today. I'm going to pick up the pace here. This is a familiar carol sung with absolute delight by the Dale Warland Singers. This was a piece originally written in the Ukraine, in Kiev, by the composer Mykola Leontovich, with lyrics by Peter J. Wilowski. Now, Wilowski ended up arranging music for the NBC Orchestra, and so he arranged it with English lyrics. And we're now going to hear Carol of the Bells, originally composed in 1914, but reworked into English in 1936. But this time it's not the NBC Orchestra under Toscanini. It is the amazing Dale Warland Singers, Carol of the Bells. It's a wonderful piece, so superbly sung, Carol of the Bells, sung by the Dale Warland Singers. By the way, if you want some Christmas music, go look for their CDs. They're just uniformly wonderful. Now, here is the poem that you would have thought I, D.L. Hudson, would have never read on Church and Culture because, well, first of all, it's by a famous beat poet, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who is, by the way, still alive. He's 97, living in Bronxville. Maybe you'll hear the show. Well, I'm going to read his poem called Christ Climb Down. And if you've never heard this, it comes from an odd source, but it has an important message for all of us. Let me read it to you. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where there were no rootless Christmas trees, hung with candy canes and breakable stars. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where there were no gilded Christmas trees and no tinsel Christmas trees and no tin foil Christmas trees and no pink plastic Christmas trees and no gold Christmas trees and no black Christmas trees and no powder blue Christmas trees hung with electric lights and encircled by 10 electric trains and clever cornball relatives. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where no intrepid Bible salesman covered the territory in two-toned Cadillacs, where no Sears Roebuck creches complete with plastic babe in manger arrived by parcel post, the babe by special delivery, and where no televised wise men praised the Lord Calvert whiskey. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where no fat, handshaking stranger in a red flannel suit and a fake white beard went around passing himself off as some sort of North Pole saint crossing the desert to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in a Volkswagen sled drawn by rollicking Adirondack reindeer with German names and bearing sacks of humble gifts from Saks Fifth Avenue for everybody's imagined Christ child. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where no Bing Crosby carolers groaned of a tight Christmas and where no Radio City Angels, ice skated wingless through a winter wonderland into a jingle bell heaven daily at 8:30 with midnight mass matinees. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and softly stole away into some anonymous Mary's womb again, where in the darkest night of everybody's anonymous soul, he waits again, an unimaginable and impossibly immaculate reconception, the very craziest of second comings. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, still what's up, as the age of 97, living in Bronxville, New York, delivering a good message for all of us who celebrate the coming of Christ. I promised one more pop song, and you're going to know this song, but if you've never heard it by Tony Bennett, you've really never heard it. Let's listen to Rodgers and Hammerstein's My Favorite Things.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzels with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Here's it. We'll be right back.
white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, that's Tony Bennett, and whatever arranger put that marimba in there, it's just right, just right. Speaking of an unusual arrangement, if I asked you which poet wrote in all small case letters, you would know E.E. Cummings. Wonderful poet, wonderful novelist of his experience in the First World War called The Enormous Room. Somebody worth going back and reacquainting yourself with. He wrote a Christmas poem. I'm going to read it to you. E.E. Cummings. Little tree, little silent Christmas tree, you are so little, you are more like a flower. Who found you in the green forest, and were you very sorry to come away? See, I will comfort you because you smell so sweetly. I will kiss your cool bark and hug you safe and tight, just as your mother would. Only don't be afraid. Look, the spangles that sleep all the year in a dark box, dreaming of being taken out and allowed to shine. The balls of chains, red and gold, the fluffy threads. Put up your little arms, and I'll give them all to you to hold. Every finger shall have its ring, and there won't be a single place dark or unhappy. Then when you've quite dressed, you'll stand in the window for everybody to see, and how their stare. Oh, but you'll be very proud. And my little sister and I will take hands, and looking up at our beautiful tree, we'll dance and sing, Noel, Noel. E.E. Cummings. You didn't think he had it in him, but he does. A wonderful Christmas poem. Get titled as Little Tree. Here's one of my favorite, contemporarily written Christmas carols by John Rutter. What sweeter music, sung by a group called Polyphony that records for Hyperion. The Polyphony CD of John Rutter's Christmas music is one of my top five. So take a listen to how they sing What Sweeter Music.
Thank you.
British composer John Rutter, still alive and with us and actively composing his the sweeter music. And I should have mentioned the words are by another metaphysical poet of the 17th century, Robert Herrick. Now I'd like to read you a story, and we'll go from that story to my last selection, which I think will be familiar to you. Here's the story I want to tell you. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in this same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. O Dona Nobis Pacem, Johann Sebastian Bach.
Thank you.
from the great Mass in B minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, the great Dona Nobis Pacem, sung by, guess who, Robert Shaw, Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. And remember that in what I read from the Gospel of St. Luke, one of the things the angels said to the shepherds was that the one who is coming will bring peace. Dona Nobis Pacem, bring us peace. Thank you for being with me today on this Advent show. After this short break, we'll have a guest.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Psalm 23 teaches us about God through the image of a shepherd, as it illustrates what a good shepherd must know and do for his flock. A good shepherd knows how to find food and water and leads his sheep to those locations. A good shepherd knows the landscape. He knows where to find shade and which are the safe paths. A good shepherd is able to protect his sheep from those who want to destroy them. Thus, sheep are tended by a good shepherd and have safety and security, nourishment and rest. In John's Gospel, Jesus proclaims himself to be the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 teaches us what Jesus offers to us as our shepherd, and what he wants to provide for us in our daily lives. Let us pray that we will let Jesus guide, nourish, and protect us as our shepherd, that we may rest with him in this life and the next. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, cbsmich.org.
There is genuine consolation from the Catholic Catechism regarding the death of a loved one. The Christian who dies in Christ Jesus, we are told, is away from the body and at home with the Lord. Death marks the end of a Christian's sacramental life, but the fulfillment of his new birth, which began at baptism, now has a definitive conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. The Christian funeral does not give the deceased a sacrament or sacramentals because he or she has passed beyond the sacramental economy. The different funeral rites express the paschal character of Christian death. The greatest consolation to the Christian is the knowledge that even in death, we are separated only temporarily, that one day, if we have lived well, we will all be together again in Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
What are your reasons for homeschooling? For former professional football player Sean Alexander, homeschooling is about training his children in what's truly important. Learn more about the Alexander's homeschool journey on today's Homeschool Heartbeat.
I'm joined today by my really good friend, Sean Alexander. Sean is a former MVP of the NFL, and he was playing for the greatest team ever, the Seattle Seahawks. He's a homeschooling dad of eight and the new vice president of parentalrights.org. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike, and you are correct. Seahawks are the best in the world, so I like where this is going already.
That's right. Okay, all right. We'll get that settled. All those other people, they have their problems, especially those from Dallas. Sean, why did you and your wife decide to homeschool, and what's that journey been like for your family?
You know, the first thing that we liked about homeschooling was that we could travel. We weren't sure whether we wanted to live in the D.C. area or whether we wanted to live in Seattle or go back to Kentucky or Alabama. And my wife, she just said, you know, I've got this unction that we should try homeschooling. And we didn't know anything about it, but we just jumped in and did it. And we found out that we actually have the opportunity to do one of the greatest honors that anybody could ever have, and that's really train your child up. And that's why we homeschool. It's about training our children up in what's the most important things, their faith, their true identity, work ethic, the boundaries of life, and what real success looks like.
Well, Sean, that was a great story. Thank you so much for telling us about your family and about your inspiration. I'm Mike Ferris.
Today's program was part of a longer interview. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, you can find it on our website at homeschoolheartbeat.com. That's homeschoolheartbeat.com. And to find other programs like the one you heard today, visit our website at homeschoolheartbeat.com.
Now, in the Ave Maria online store, two brilliant talks on Advent by Father John Ricardo. In the mystery of Advent, Father John dives into Scripture to regain the wonder we should experience during this season. In Advent Confession, Father John helps us prepare for the Nativity of the Lord through the story of the prodigal son. Order both talks now by going to AveMariaRadio.net and clicking on Advent Talks under the Store tab. It's a great gift that will help you and your loved ones enter into the mystery and mercy of Advent. On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We'll keep you closely connected to the faith with the latest from Rome, the front line to the pro-life movement, and we'll also take a look at other crucial issues facing you and your family and our one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
I'm really, really happy to have Mercedes Slapp on Church and Culture today. Known her a long time, knew her before she married and Matt Slapp and had five girls. I met her when she was Director of Specialty Media at the White House in the first term of President George W. Bush. And since her White House days, she's been a columnist for the Washington Times. She's now a Fox News contributor, where you probably have seen her pretty face, and frequently appears on MSNBC, PBS, and CNN. And I read here that they allow her to go on Univision, which surprises me somewhat, since she's a Republican. She is also co-founder with her husband, Matt Schlapp, and Matt's been on Church and Culture several times, of Cove Strategies, and where they develop and implement media strategy for corporate and nonprofits. She also works on coalition building of Hispanics, which kind of creates a bridge to what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Cuba, Fidel Castro, and I've asked Mercedes Slapp specifically because of her background and her father. And Mercedes, you tell the story. What is it that happened to you and your family because of Fidel Castro?
Well, Deal, thank you for having me on. And you're right, we have known each other for a very long time, pre-Schlapp children. So, and you have been always such a wise and inspirational voice in the Catholic community and the Christian community and generally the faith community. So it's always wonderful to spend time with you and your family and be able to talk about the things that matter in our life and in our culture. So my father, I'm a proud Cuban American. My father came from Cuba back in 1971. Beforehand, he was a very successful businessman, striving to really do well in Cuba. And at the time when Fidel Castro came in the 1959 revolution, Fidel Castro was selling what I would call a vision of this utopia society, where just things would be run better, be better,